Hey, Bible nerds, this is Dr. Manny Arango, and I'm your host for the Bible Department podcast powered by Arma. This podcast follows a Bible reading plan we created to help you read the entire Bible in a year. You can head to the show notes or thebibledepartment.com to download our reading plan and join the journey. Family, welcome to day 129. We are in Deuteronomy chapter 12. To 14. If you haven't done the reading, you want to make sure that you go do the reading. We are finally in the law. Okay. We're in the law codes. And I really like going through these laws. I think I'm going to show you some stuff about the laws that's really going to help you. And my prayer is that this stuff comes alive for you. If you haven't done the reading, make sure you do it. It's only three chapters. You can do this. If you have done the reading, let's dive in. All right. The entire section, this is the middle section of the book. It goes from Deuteronomy chapter 12 all the way to Deuteronomy chapter 26. This is the middle chunk of the book. And honestly, this is like the section of the book that people probably what Deuteronomy is known for, okay? All the law codes, the sections of just laws about all kinds of stuff, okay? So the laws can be broken into two categories. The first category is Deuteronomy chapter 12 to 18 are all about loving Yahweh. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. So those first couple of chapters, I think that's like six chapters, Deuteronomy 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18. Yep, seven chapters, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. Yep, those seven chapters are all about loving Yahweh, Deuteronomy chapter 12 to 18. Then Deuteronomy chapter 19, we see a turn. Deuteronomy chapter 19 to 26 is all about loving neighbors. Now, the laws are alive and dynamic. As we're going to see with like stuff like divorce, there's a lot of laws where the laws are actually a concession. When we get to Matthew chapter 19 and Jesus is questioned about Deuteronomy, he's questioned about divorce. He's questioned on a passage found here in the book of Deuteronomy. He's going to go, wait, let's go all the way back to Genesis. And they're going to go, wait, no. Moses said we could give our wives a certificate of divorce. And Jesus' answer is gangster. He says, yeah, Moses gave you that law in Deuteronomy because your hearts were evil. And so the law, some of the law is neither comprehensive. The law's not comprehensive, and a lot of laws are a concession. So God's ideal is that there's no polygamy, okay? But God is going to give concessions for people who are going to practice polygamy, okay? Now, there's some things God gives zero concession for. You practice idolatry, death penalty, okay? You murder someone intentionally, death penalty. Adultery, death penalty. There's some things that are just going to get the death penalty. There's no concession. But then there's certain things where God simply understands that he has to communicate his will and he's communicating a law. But there's laws in the book of Deuteronomy that say that no one with Moabite blood, okay, can approach the tent of meeting. But David is going to do that. Okay. David's got Moabite blood in him. And so remember, Deuteronomy is going to say that someone caught in adultery should be stoned. But when Jesus meets a woman in John chapter 8 who is caught in adultery, he doesn't stone her. And so even though God is the author of the law, he's not a legalist. Okay, God loves giving grace. And only God has the wisdom to know when to even bend the law. So what I don't want you to hear is, man, the law, like, yes, these laws are true and they should be upheld. Absolutely. But these laws are also given to judges. And the more we get into the weeds on these laws, the more you'll see how it's still the Levites or a judge's responsibility to read Deuteronomy and then rely on the wisdom that they have to actually begin to discern and to judge well. All right. So let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 12. Is an expansion of the first commandment, the very, very first commandment. Now, so the context for all of these laws is Deuteronomy chapter 5. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 5, we can start reading in verse 7. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 7 is going to give the Ten Commandments. Okay, first commandment, You shall have no other gods before me. Okay? No other gods before me. Now, what we're going to see in Deuteronomy chapter 12 is that one law, don't have any other gods before me. Now, but what does that look like? How do we actually practice that law? Boom. Deuteronomy chapter 12 is actually going to tell you. So Deuteronomy chapter 12 starts, these are the decrees and laws you must be careful to follow in the land that the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has given you to possess as long as you live in the land. Destroy completely all the high places and high mountains on the hills and under every spreading tree where the nations you are dispossessing worship their gods. Oh, so wait, you're telling me that you shall have no other gods before me includes destroying the idols of the other nations? Yes. Wait, I thought that this was just a law of omission, like just do not practice idol worship. But God now in Deuteronomy chapter 12 is actually showing me that this is not simply a law of omission, like, hey, this is just something you're not supposed to do, but there's something I'm supposed to actively do. That this is also a law of commission. I need to destroy completely all the places on the high mountains, on the hills. These would be Asherah poles and places where Baal was worshipped. Break down their altars. Smash their sacred stones. Burn their Asherah poles in the fire. Cut down the idols of their gods and wipe out their names from those places. Do you see how Deuteronomy chapter 12 is expanding and explaining what the first commandment actually means of the Ten Commandments? All we get in the Ten Commandments is, you shall have no other gods before me. But Deuteronomy chapter 12 actually shows me, nope, that there's more to it than that. Okay, let's keep moving with Deuteronomy chapter 12. You must not worship the Lord your God in their way. All right. But you are to seek the place the Lord your God will choose. Okay, so part of the way that I live out, you shall have no other gods before me, is by worshiping Yahweh at the central and singular location that he wants me to worship at. The other way that I live out this first commandment, if we keep reading, is that I'm supposed to treat blood as if it's sacred. Okay, this is part of how I worship, how I refrain from worshiping other gods. Okay, nevertheless, you may slaughter your animals. This is verse 15. Your animals in any of the towns and eat as much of the meat as you want, as if it were a gazelle or a deer, according to the blessing the Lord your God gives you. Both the ceremonially unclean and the clean may eat it, but you must not eat the blood. Pour it out on the ground like water. So, yes, you shall have no other gods before me, but how are you going to do that? By not eating the blood, but pour the blood out on the ground like water. You see, and this is gonna be from Deuteronomy chapter 12 all the way to Deuteronomy chapter 26. We are just going to get one of the commandments at a time, one commandment at a time, and then we're just going to expand that entire commandment so that we can actually get some details on what Yahweh means by these 10 commandments. The big conclusion. So it's going to end, you know, verse 32. Actually, verse 29. The Lord your God will cut off before you the nations you're about to invade and dispossess. But when you have driven them out and settled in their land, and after they have been destroyed before you, be careful not to be ensnared by inquiring about their gods, saying, how do these nations serve their gods? We will do the same. You must not worship the Lord your God in their way, because in worshiping their gods, they do all kinds of detestable things the Lord hates. They even burn their sons and daughters in the fire as sacrifices to their gods. I can't read that and not think about my son. That is terrible. See that you do all I command you. Do not add to it or take away from it. So all we get in Deuteronomy chapter 5 is you shall have no other gods before me. That's all we get. And then we get to Deuteronomy chapter 12. And now that one phrase or that one commandment here in Deuteronomy chapter 5 gets expanded. And now we're able to see, oh, what Yahweh also means is don't worship in any way like the Canaanites worship. Don't even be mistaken for them. Like, be completely separate as possible. Like, don't intermingle with them at all, okay? So, we got time to do, well, we got two more commandments just in this block of teaching. So, this is our nerdy nugget, okay? Deuteronomy chapter 13 is an expansion of the second commandment, okay? So, what's the second commandment? The second commandment is, you shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or in the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commands. So this one is no images. You shall not make for yourself an image. So the first one is no idolatry. The second one is no images. When we get to Deuteronomy chapter 13, Deuteronomy chapter 13 is going to be an expansion of this second law. Now, this is interesting because who's made in the image of God? Humans are made in the image of God. So who are the people that are so easy to actually worship? People are easy to worship. And man, I've been in a lot of churches and people who have been endowed with spiritual power, man, I've seen other human beings idolize and worship human beings who are made in the image of God and who have been endowed with special skills, gifts, abilities. And so Deuteronomy chapter 13 is expanding on this second commandment of not making for yourself images in the form of anything heaven, on earth, or beneath. And what do we get? It says this, if a prophet or one who foretells by dreams appears among you and announces to you a sign or wonder, and if the sign or wonder spoken of takes place and the prophet says, let us follow other gods and let us worship them, you must not listen to the words of that prophet or dreamer. The Lord your God is testing you to find out whether you love him with all your heart and with all your soul. It is the Lord your God you must follow, and him you must revere. Keep his commands and obey him, serve him, and hold fast to him. Remember, hold fast, cling to. That prophet or dreamer must be put to death for inciting rebellion against the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt and redeemed you from the land of slavery. That prophet or dreamer tried to turn you from the way the Lord your God commanded you to follow. You must purge the evil from among you. Okay, the second commandment is don't make graven images. And the way that that's likely to happen is by a prophet or a dreamer getting people to worship other gods and leading them astray. And so Yahweh now in chapter 13 is saying, hey, prophets are not to be idolized in Israel. Prophets are not to lead Israel into idolatry. So the second commandment outlaws idolatry. And now Deuteronomy chapter 13 is going to expand what is actually the kinds of idolatry that the average person is going to find themselves in. And so the entire chapter is all about idolatry. Okay, next. The third commandment that we have here in Deuteronomy chapter 5 is you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Don't misuse the name of the Lord. Some versions of the Bible would say don't take the name of the Lord in vain. Let's read Deuteronomy chapter 14. Because everything in Deuteronomy chapter 14 is going to be about misrepresenting the personhood and identity of Yahweh. That is, you are, so chapter 14, you are the children of the Lord your God. Do not cut yourselves. Why? Because Canaanites do that. And if you do it, you represent God. Okay? He's put his name on you. You represent him. Okay, it's like when people saw Peter, they realize, yeah, you were with Jesus, right? When people see you, they don't just see you, they see the God that you represent. So don't act like a Canaanite because you are misrepresenting God when you do that. You are the children of the Lord your God. Do not cut yourselves or shave the front of your heads for the dead, for you are people holy to the Lord your God. Out of all the peoples on the face of the earth, the Lord has chosen you to be his treasured possession. There's a bunch of laws in this section that all have to do with what that all have to do with misrepresenting the name of the Lord. So we don't have time to get into all the nerdy little details because the clock's ticking on this episode. But everything in this little section of Deuteronomy chapter 14 has to do with misrepresenting the name of the Lord. So what I wanted to show you, okay, is that Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 1 to 22, which are the Ten Commandments, is the backdrop for the expansion that we are going to see take place over the course of the next several days, okay? So actually, chapter 14, all the way up until verse 21, is going to represent things that the laws up until verse 21 are going to be associated with misrepresenting the personhood and the identity of Yahweh. Once we get to Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 22, now we are actually in an expansion of the fourth commandment, which is all about the Sabbath. But we won't jump the gun. We'll get there tomorrow. Okay, what's our timeless truth for the day? Our timeless truth for the day is that what Jesus is doing in the Gospels, which is saying, hey, you've heard it said, but I tell you, teaching on the law, expanding the law, applying the law into all kind of scenarios as times change, that is something that Deuteronomy is already doing. The way that the people have to obey the law when they get into the land is going to differ from how they were able to obey the law when they were wandering around the wilderness. Okay, context and technology and culture and life require that the laws keep getting updated, keep getting expanded. Hey, I know these are the Ten Commandments, and the Ten Commandments cover everything, but this is how you actually obey commandment number 3 or commandment number 2 or commandment number 1. And that work of getting wisdom from the law so that I can apply it to a bunch of scenarios that may not be in the law explicitly, that is actually the process that the Holy Spirit invites us on. Not just as people who would have been reading this thousands of years ago, but that's the journey that the Holy Spirit invites us on. To say, all right, the Bible doesn't say anything about marijuana, but the Bible says a whole lot of things about sobriety. So, how can I apply an ancient law and use it for modern wisdom? Because the Bible does have modern wisdom or ancient wisdom for the modern world. All right, that's our timeless truth. I made sure to give you a context clue, made sure to give you some nerdy nuggets, and I made sure to give you a timeless truth. We'll be right here tomorrow for day 130. I'm so proud of you if you're on a streak, seriously, especially if you've done 129 days. I'm insanely proud of you. If you're not on a streak, you ain't got to do nothing but get 2 days in a row. If you get 2 days in a row, you're on a streak. If you did the reading today, just make sure that you're faithful tomorrow and you can get on a streak, okay? So I'm proud of you. We'll be in Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 18 tomorrow for day 130, and I'll see you right here. Love y'all. Peace. Thank you so much for joining me on the Bible Department podcast. If this episode was helpful, it would mean the world to me if you'd give us a follow, rate and review the show, and don't forget to share. You can learn more about the show at thebibledepartment.com and find us on Instagram at @thebibledepartment. If you want to dive deeper into the Bible, you can get free access to our library of courses at thebibledepartment.com. We'll see you back here tomorrow. What if I told you that what you're learning in this video was just the tip of the iceberg? The Bible Department is actually powered by Arma. What is Arma? I'm so glad you asked. Arma is an online subscription-based platform that we designed to help people, everyday people, learn the Bible for themselves. We started Arma so that anybody, anywhere, could have access to trustworthy and entertaining Bible and theology content. In addition to this podcast, we have over 60 courses on individual books of the Bible, on theology topics, and on some hot topics like homosexuality, tithing, and women in ministry. But really, Arma is a community of people that I've gotten to know. A community where thousands of people are currently finding family, asking questions, and nerding out on the Bible together. If you want a community to read the Bible with you this year, or if you want to dive into some deeper theological content, or if you want more exclusive access to me and the entire ARMA team, how about you go to thebibledepartment.com. I'll be sure to post the link in the description of this video. Let's make this your year to become a Bible nerd.